Greetings, this is H.G. Wells, log set S2, log 17. And today, I and my, colleague...
Wells!
...will be performing a seance. Is everything prepared?
We are ready to begin.
Very well. I'll light the candles. Do we need anything else?
The medium bridges the gap between worlds alone.
Right. Look, are you sure you've done this before?
Of course! I learned from the greats!
It's just, you sound like you're ready for... Aha! You cheater! I thought you were being serious.
I am!
A Fool's Guide to Summoning Spirits. Yes, that sounds terribly serious to me.
It's a reference guide, HG. It's perfectly scientific.
There's nothing scientific about ghosts.
How will we know until we conduct the experiment, eh? Nothing is known until it is proven, what?
Fine, we'll do it your way.
Oh, capital! Shall I do the honours? Through the veil that separates life and death, from the land of the living all the way down into that of the dead, I now call the spirits. Come, grace us with your presence. Pass across the border of the desert that lies between, and form yourself into that which is corporeal matter. Spirits, come, join us in this very room! Gracious, that was fast.
What the... Jane?
Hello, darling. Good Lord, what on earth is going on here? Why are all the lights out? And the candles lit? And... Herbert, is that my best shawl draped over the table?
Well, you see, Jane...
Yes?
There's a perfectly rational explanation for this, isn't
it? Let's hear it then.
The thing is...
We're holding a séance!
I promise it's all perfectly reasonable.
A seance?
Yes, dear.
But you don't believe in seances. You think they're all hogwash.
Well, yes, but...
You told me you thought that mediums were charlatans and buffoons.
I did say that, it's true, but...
Honestly, Herbert, I leave you alone for 2 hours. Arthur, please tell me this wasn't your idea.
Why, of course.
But I thought you were going to look after Herbert for me.
I did, most faithfully. But he felt a good deal better. We both felt rather bored. And we got to discussing spiritualism.
But how did you get from spiritualism to attempting a seance?
It's surprisingly easy, dear.
Of course it is.
I, of course, firmly believe that spiritualism is nonsense, whilst Doyle believes just as firmly that it is perfectly plausible. In order to determine beyond all doubt who is correct, we decided to utilise the scientific method and carry out an experimental seance.
Indeed. It's not so very different to the art of deductive reasoning. After all, once you eliminate the impossible, what remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. Don't forget, HG, that I am also a student of the sciences. We aren't so very different, you know.
Not so very different.
But you know, being a scientist or a doctor is rather like being a detective of the natural order. I maintain that I would make an excellent detective if the occasion ever arose.
And I maintain that I would eat my hat if you ever managed to solve the unsolvable.
Well, if our seance is successful, it looks like you'll be eating hat stew, sir.
What in heaven's name are you two talking about? Who are you trying to summon anyway? Surely not another author. We have a time machine for that, in case you've both forgotten.
Not an author, no.
A historical figure, then? Or was it someone we know?
Kind of. If I tell you, will you promise not to laugh?
Well, now I'm intrigued. Go on.
Do you promise, Jane?
I'm not sure I can. Do tell me, Herbert. I'm sure it can't be that strange.
We were trying to tell me the spirit of Mr. Moon.
Pardon?
We were trying to summon the spirit of Mr. Boo.
I'm sorry, dear. I didn't quite...
We were trying to summon the spirit of Mr. Boo.
You were what? Trying to summon the ghost of our cat?
Don't laugh, Jane. You promised you wouldn't.
I did nothing of the sort. Arthur, don't tell me you thought that this was a good idea.
It's all very reasonable when you think about it.
I am thinking about it, trust me.
Well, you see, Jane, what transpired was a perfectly logical chain of events. H.G. here explained to me about your missing cat.
Mr. Boo.
Yes, Mr. Boo. And I asked about what happened to the poor thing. He told me that he didn't know.
Well, we don't, Jane.
And expressed a fear that it was dead. Well, I suggested that I try to solve the insolvable.
If anyone can do it, it isn't him.
It jolly well is. Anyway, I suggested that we attempt a seance to evaluate whether the spirit of your cat had passed into the underworld. If the seance was successful, and we truly managed to summon the spirit of Mr. Boo, then I would not only have proved the efficiency of the art of spiritualism, but I also would have managed to solve the unsolvable, the whereabouts of your cat.
And if the seance proved unsuccessful, which was highly likely, I would have demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that spiritualism is nonsense and Doyle is not a detective.
It certainly is not nonsense.
Cobblers, claptrap, piffle.
It makes just as much sense as Martians.
Balderdash, gibberish, blather, twaddle, poppycock.
Boys, please. I've had a very long day interviewing authors and I'd quite like to sit down and talk with you quietly, if you don't mind. Honestly, anyone would think you're a pair of children the way you behave. Herbert, our sons have more maturity than you, and they're not yet 10.
Sorry, Jane.
Now, let's sit down and talk about something other than seances, shall we? I'm quite sure that poor little cat had some kind of run-in with a stray dog, and I doubt we'll see him again. Arthur, would you join us?
Thank you, Jane, but I must be off. I have a splendid dinner waiting for me at home. Pip, pip, cheerio.
Sweet relief. How was your trip, dear? I'm awfully sorry. I should have asked earlier.
It was distinctly enjoyable. Getting to talk to two of my favourite authors about their lives and works, getting to see how they lived and wrote, getting to experience them in person, it was incredible.
They weren't odd?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
Didn't they, I don't know, do or say anything particularly strange, such as take off all their clothes, or speak to you through a door, or have a pet bear, or keep a... ravens.
Well, nothing quite so bizarre as that, but I must admit that both Jane Austen and Louisa May Alcott had certain quirks of their personality that even I found strange, and I'm married to you.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, dear. I couldn't resist the joke.
I forgive you. Just... Jane?
Yes, dear?
Just to make it clear, I'm not accusing you of anything, but...
Yes?
Is that soup on my time machine?
Ah, yes it is.
How? Why? When?
Louisa May Alcott threw a tureen of it at me when I first arrived. She thought I'd broken in.
I thought you said they weren't weird.
I never said that, Herbert. I just said that they weren't quite as strange as your previous ones. You must admit, throwing soup is nowhere near as odd as screaming every time someone knocks on your door.
Coleridge really was incredibly bizarre.
I did discover something that you might find amusing during Austen's visit, though.
Oh?
Yes, whenever the door hinge outside Austen's writing room creaked, she would immediately try and hide all of her work in a desk drawer.
Really?
And while I was visiting Louisa May Alcott, the doorbell rang and she made me help her dress as a maidservant. I couldn't work out why until she answered the door, but there was a fan of her books outside waiting to see her, and she told them that Miss Alcott's not home at present.
It seems to me that a large proportion of authors are complete hermits. I mean, just look at Coleridge.
And Dickinson.
And Poe.
One can hardly blame them, though, dear. With all the publicity your work is getting these days, I'm surprised you haven't become a hermit yourself.
Oh, I could never become a hermit, Jane. I couldn't stand to be away from you and the boys for that long.
Herbert, that's lovely.
Not to mention that caves are notoriously hard on typewriters. All that damp. No, no, if I had to become a hermit, I would much rather be somewhere warm and dry. Perhaps a nice thatched cottage in the Cotswolds.
So a hermit who has someone to wash his socks, then... Never mind. Tell me, who are the next authors on your list?
Well, the great Mary Shelley, of course. As a lover of all things futuristic, I truly owe my start to the mother of science fiction.
I wonder if she's as gothically dramatic as her books. I must say that Frankenstein really sent a chill down my spine.
I will give you the full details on my return. I think it promises to be a fantastical experience, rivaled only by my next piece of news.
Oh, what's that?
How do you fancy taking the train up to the Lake District with me and the boys?
Herbert, that sounds wonderful. I'd love to. But what's the occasion? Why are we going?
Well, while I was at home convalescing from my cold and you were busy traversing the mysteries of time and space...
Hardly convalescing, Herbert. I was only gone a few hours.
While I was convalescing, it occurred to me that I had been using the time machine so much as of late, visiting authors of the past, that I have barely had time to see my own family in the present. There are many perfectly good authors in my own time period for me to interview, and it seems silly for me to pass up on an opportunity to do so, not just alone, but with you and the boys too. And when I say that this one does not only share an age with me, but has also written some of the boys' favourite works.
And lives in the Lake District. Not Beatrix Potter. The Beatrix Potter.
Will you accompany me on a short trip away, my dear?
Oh, darling, you know I'd go anywhere with you. You won't regret this, will you?
Jane, I don't think I could regret anything in the world if it means that you're still in it.
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at Turpentine Pod, and Facebook at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets. Or check out our website, www.hgwellshashisregrets.wordpress.com. This episode of H.G. Wells Has His Regrets was written and produced by Francesca Mylord Ford, with assistance from Emily Hancock. Music composed by Emily Hancock and Joash Kari, and sound design by Howard White. This show was created and executive produced by Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Catherine Jane Wells was voiced by Georgia Fisk. And Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was voiced by Nathan Donnelly. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on, and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Elizabeth Gaskell's Wives and Daughters. Sometimes one likes foolish people for their folly, better than wise people for their wisdom. Thanks for listening.